How many of you like thorns? Good, you're normal people. Anybody said that you like thorns, we would have problems. And yet thorns are a part of life, are they not? I mean, physical thorns are, but also those things in life that seem to be thorns, and probably what Paul talked about in our reading just a moment ago was not a physical thorn, but it was a physical malady of some sort. I want to talk about the thorns because I believe that some people sell a cheapened version of Christianity that says you become a Christian and life is fine and there are no problems and there are no thorns in life. But there are thorns in life and there's a purpose for thorns. And I want to share that with you today. Look back with me at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. I think it's kind of the crux of what Paul is saying when he says a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me lest I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes people get what we used to call the big head. And Paul said there was that danger as he looked back on it. Now, you need to understand, Paul did not want this thorn in the flesh. He was not happy with this thorn in the flesh. It was a problem for him. But he still dealt with this thorn in the flesh. And so we're going to talk about that as we go through. But I want to talk more about the thorns that you and I face in our lives and how we should respond to those thorns and how we should live and understand that we're not being punished. There's an old song, Tempted and Tried, How We're Oft Made to Wonder. You remember that song? Have you ever felt that song in your life? Why it should be like this, why it should be thus, I think is what the song says. There's another one that says, oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe. And you begin to look at those songs, and there are a lot of things that say, in the Christian life, there are struggles that we have to meet and struggles that we have to face. And how do we come up on top of them? Because it's a part of the human existence, and that's what I want to spend our time talking about today. Number one, let's begin to look at the reality of thorns. Nobody lives in a panacea. There's heartache that comes into the life of each person here. It may be in the form of a death of a loved one, and that's not anything that, even if we have full assurance that they are good Christian folks and the promises of God are true, there's still that problem of letting go. It may be that the process of one dying becomes very painful, and we wonder why we have to go through the procedures sometimes that we have to go and watch a loved one hang on so long, or maybe we're even in our own life, sickness or things that happen, problems that happen within our families. And so thorns are going to happen. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 when he said, lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelation that God had showed to him, a thorn in the flesh was given to me. It had to happen to buffet me, to slow me down. There was a purpose behind it. I don't understand it, Paul, I think, could say, until God explained it to him. And God does explain it to him, and we'll look at that today. In 2 Timothy, Paul said this when he was writing the young man. He says, anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus and wants to live right will have trouble from others. That's true if you will live your Christianity. If you hide your Christianity, you may get away with people not giving you a hard time or not having to make hard decisions if you won't maintain true. But I suspect it is common to the human race that if we live and try to do right, there's going to be problems come into your life. When you try to do the right thing, sometimes you're going to be cheated. When you try to go the extra mile, somebody's going to take advantage of you. But that's on them, and that's something else. And it's not fair, and life's not fair, and it's not going to be fair. It never has been, never will be. But there are problems that are painful, and I think that's what the illustration of the thorn in the flesh is all about, that life comes with thorns. Real problems in real life. Real life has real thorns. I've often wondered, and I'm not much of a connoisseur of flowers. I like them, but I don't understand how roses became, if you will, the love flower. I'm not sure why roses have, you know, roses are red, violets are blue. I guess maybe that was it. But roses always come with thorns. The beauty comes with a thorn. And to me, it's kind of a representation in life that they're beautiful things, but you've still got to look out for the thorn. In the Christian life, there is much blessing, but there are thorns that we're going to have to experience just like with a rose. For instance, we're going to have physical problems. I was driving home from Prattville Wednesday night, And I was driving through Montgomery and I got a phone call. My cousin, Adam's brother-in-law. And he said, Adam's in trouble. Adam's in the hospital. We sounded kind of like heartish kind of stuff, or maybe heart attack, something. And by the time I got home, I think he had begun to have some relief. He had these horrible kidney stones and horrible pain. I think you would have probably just as soon not gone through that pain. Amen. I'm told that kidney stones are as close as a man will ever come to having a baby. I don't know if that's true or not. But Adam said he was in significant pain. But that's a part of life, and just because he's a Christian didn't mean he didn't have kidney stones. James was going through this procedure. I was talking to Melody just a little bit ago, before we began our worship service, and asking about James, and he's doing well. I understand no visitors at this time for infectious reasons, and he's not able to get around and things like that. But she said it was a lot harder on him than he intended to be, and if you kept up with our announcements, there were some complications in there that caused his surgery to be more extended or expanded than originally was thought. And he did a good thing, but it came with a great deal of pain, and he's still experiencing that kind of pain. Physically, we're going to have aches and pains, and sometimes more so than other times. We're going to have to deal with death of loved ones. We're going to have to see sometimes children die, which is the most unnatural of things. Sometimes it's parents or grandparents that die. And we look at those things, and our heart is broken, and I believe those are the thorns of life that are going to come into everybody's life. The living know that they're going to die, the Bible says. But there's also other kind of problems, whether it be with your job or at school, and you wonder, why does it have to be thus? Why does it have to be like this? Problems in our family, problems out of our family, problems in the world, problems in politics. There are problems out there that Christians are going to experience, and we can either be defeated by them or we can be strengthened by them. And it's going to be an interesting study as we look at this morning to see how we are strengthened, because real life has real thorns. And so somebody asked the question, what's the reason for the thorns in life? Why do we have to have them? Why can't we have roses without thorns? Why can't we have blackberries without briars? Why can't we have all the good things and none of the bad things? I believe that it's a learning process. And what I think we're learning is learning to trust in God. Most of us live in a world where we think we are self-sufficient, and if anything is not true, that is certainly not true. The song says, I need thee every hour, I need thee. And I wonder if we ever realize that in our day-to-day life, or if we think that we just need God on Sunday. Verse 8 of chapter 12 goes on to say, concerning the things I pleaded with the Lord three times, that it might depart from me this thorn in the flesh. And he said, and this is the most important part of the passage, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made purpose in weakness. The reason for the thorn in the flesh was for Paul to learn the grace of God and learn the need of God and learn that when we are at our weakest, that we need God our most, and that God is strong enough to face whatever problem comes our way, and that Paul had to learn that, and you have to learn that, and I have to learn that, that when we come through the struggles, we hold to the Lord more than we've ever held to Him before, or at least we should, and it's a learning process of learning to hold on. In fact, we have to learn to endure. James talks about this as well. James chapter 1 and verse 2, he talks about the human struggle. He says, my friends, be glad even if you have a lot of trouble. You know that you've learned to endure by having your faith tested. You must learn to endure everything so that you will be completely mature and not lacking in anything. There is a testing process that you have to go through to see how strong your faith really is. In manufacturing, a product is constructed and they don't put it out for sale the first day. They test it. You've seen the car commercials where they turn on the commercial and it shows it in the wind tunnel and it shows it in the rain and it shows it in the heat. That's a testing process where we as human beings are tested by the things that we face in life. You're going to face people who are atheists today and question your faith. And we need to be ready to give an answer for the faith that's within us. We're going to have people question our integrity, and we need to provide things honest in the sight of all men. We're going to have people question our religion and let God be found true and every man a lie. There's testing coming, but there's a purpose in that, and we need to learn to endure. Be glad when you have trouble, James said, or Endure temptation, the King James Version says.
We need to look at this as not as we're being overcome, but we are overcoming through the trial, whatever the trial is, placed before us. So that brings up probably the most important concept, and that is our reaction to the thorns in life. Are you made bitter or are you made better? Are you defeated or made stronger? Do you fall away from God or towards God? Trials are going to happen. Thorns are going to be in your life. Thorns that you don't understand and I don't understand. As a young preacher, I used to try to explain everything to everybody, and it didn't take me long to figure out I didn't know what I was talking about. And there's a great answer that you should learn. Sometimes the answer is, I don't know why, but I know that God is in His holy temple and He cares for my soul and He cares for your soul. But I don't know why everything happens the way it does. So the question is, what should our reaction be to when we have these trials and temptations? It's going to be frustration because we are human. It's going to be anger sometimes. Sometimes it may be rebellion. But we need to have positive reaction to the thorns in life because God sent them that we might learn to trust in Him, that His grace might be sufficient. Paul said in verse 8, concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. I don't know about you, but I've been there before. There are things when I would say in my own way, the prayer that Jesus prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now, my words, not His. I would use, God, let me know the way. How's the way out? Help me, whatever it is. And to go back more than once in prayer, we're supposed to be persistent in prayer. The Bible teaches that. But sometimes, and people don't believe this, God can say no. And that's one of the hardest lessons. You see, God is still in control. God is still omnipotent. God is still the one who gets to decide. We don't get to tell God what to do. And God says no sometimes. And He apparently said no to Paul on this request 3 times about the thorn. I just think that there was something he was struggling with that he wanted God to remove. And God said, "My grace is sufficient. You've got to learn to trust in me." And that's a hard thing to do when we're going through the valley, isn't it? It's a hard thing to do to keep our eyes focused that God is still in control, especially when we pray. Jesus prayed a prayer in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42 when He says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." The last part of that prayer is difficult for most of us as Christians to pray. Thy will be done. Because here's, to be honest with you, what I think most people want to pray. My will be done. And that's arrogant. God, let it happen the way I want it to happen. God, give me what I want. God, it's kind of like Amazon.com. You put in what you want and you want it back there in 2 days. And God can still say no because it's not good for us, or it's not going to help us, or it's going to cause us to lose our soul, or we need to learn to trust in Him and to rely on Him. Even Jesus had to learn that answer when He was among us. Verse 9 is the key to this passage when He says, "My grace is sufficient, my strength is made perfect in weakness." We've got to figure out who we are to know who He is. And Paul got it. Because I want you to listen to Paul's response to that. "Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." That's a strange prayer. That's a strange statement to make. When I'm going through hard times, I'm going to boast that the power of Christ may rest on me. I'm not talking about braggadocious kind of behavior. What we're talking about is very simple. As you share Christ, don't you have more to share about what He's done in your trial than in your blessing? We've been blessed beyond measure, but He's taken me through the valley of the shadow of death more than once. I can't tell you what it's like to love and be a part of a church family, not that you're not part of it, and have to do the funeral one after another after another. To gather my thoughts together, and it's an honor, and I'm not saying that I shouldn't do it, but my heart breaks every time a brother or sister, somebody, I'm closer to this family physically day in and day out than I am with anybody in my biological family. Think about it. This is where I live. This is where I exist. I spend more time with you than I do with my mother, or with my twin brother, or with my sister, or my other brother. Fact is, I spend more time with you than I do with my children. And when somebody loses their life, it takes a toll on us. And when we have to get up and do that, it is this power of Christ that rests upon me. And you can think of 1,000 examples, no doubt, of where in weakness God carried you through. Maybe it's a personal level of a loss of yours. Maybe it's when you're sitting through the surgery of a loved one waiting for all of that anxiety to subside when the doctor comes out and says, everything is fine, we're going to be okay. Where you have to learn to trust in God. The psalmist said it this way. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know the answer, don't you? I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do you do when thorns come? You walk through the valley, and you know that God is with you through His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd. He's going to protect us. And that's the duty of the shepherd, is to protect and to take care of the sheep. And then back to the text in 2 Corinthians, we're told that we have to keep on keeping on. We can't give up. There are going to be difficulties. I don't know if I should admit this in front of this crowd or not, but my grades were not always the best in school. In fact, in the fifth grade, I went to summer school to make up for what I didn't do the first time around. What if I had said, I'm satisfied, I don't need sixth grade, I don't need seventh grade. I wouldn't have been able to accomplish what I have today. What if I said the first time I got a thorn in the flesh to God, I'm good, I don't need anything else, I'm checking out now. We need to learn to trust in Him. Therefore will I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong, because He is carrying the load, because He is my strength. He is the source of my salvation. He is my day-to-day. He is my all in all. He is my God. He is my Christ. He is my Savior. And therefore I am strong in Him, because I'm not in me. I want to close with a verse over in Job chapter 13 and verse 15. And you remember the story of Job. Satan wants Job. He convinces the Lord that Job will fall under persecution. He's allowed to persecute him. He loses everything. He loses his family. He loses his health. He loses his children. He loses all of his livestock. He loses everything. And then he has these friends that come and try to help him out, and they are miserable friends, he says, after they come and they cause him more pain than help. And it's in verse 15 of Job 13 that Job had the courage and faith to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. There are going to be thorns in the flesh. There are going to be times that we don't have the answers or don't understand why we're going through what we're going through. But God is in control. And what He's saying is, learn to trust in Him. Learn to trust in His grace and His power to save you and to take you day to day. And if you're not a Christian, you've not experienced that trust He's talking about yet. And you could become a Christian this morning as a penitent believer confessing your sins, confessing Jesus as Christ. You could be baptized for the remission of sins and raised to walk in a new life, and you could start your life over in the eyes of God without a sin. And if you've wandered away and you've not been faithful and you need to come back home, God is waiting and looking for you to do and be who you need to be. There's no reason you can't be faithful to Him, and heaven can't be the home that He's promised. You'll have thorns, but learn to trust in Him, and He'll see you through. If we can help you this morning, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?